Morning cold, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs.
From the labs. I'm Fry.
I'm Bob, and we are interrupting our regular programming.
This is a special episode. We are recording on July 1st, 2026. The day it's happening. Because some things you cannot wait to cover.
We are not covering a paper today.
We are covering the place where the papers live.
Today, right now, as you are listening to this, Archive officially left Cornell University and became an independent nonprofit. After 35 years, it cut the cord.
And we should talk about that, because everything we cover on this show, every model, every method, every result, came through Archive first. You cannot understand where AI is going without understanding what Archive is, how it got here, and what it's risking.
Plus, the man who built it just said something alarming in public. We'll get to that.
Chapter 1. The Quick Hack.
August 14, 1991. Paul Ginsbarg is a physicist at Los Alamos National Laboratory. He has a neck station on a cluttered desk. That's a workstation running Steve Jobs' next operating system, the machine that would eventually become the foundation of macOS. He writes some email list software over a weekend.
The problem he is solving, physicists keep mailing each other preprints, paper copies, months before peer review, months before journals, you would mail a physical document to a list of colleagues. The system was informal, slow, and you had to know the right people to get on the list.
Ginsbarg automates the list. You email a paper in, the system files it, anyone can request it. He later described it as a little one-off, a quick hack, and maybe once a month I'd have to intervene and do something manually.
It was supposed to handle maybe 10 submissions a month for high-energy physics theorists. That's it. That was the ambition.
It received 10 submissions the first month. Then it went sideways.
Within a year, physicists across all subfields were using it. Within 5 years, mathematicians and computer scientists. The server moved from email to the early web. Ginsbarg moved from Los Alamos to Cornell in 2001, and Archive moved with him.
He won a MacArthur Genius Grant in 2002 for building a mailing list.
For inventing open access science distribution at scale before anyone had a name for it. Chapter 2. What It Broke.
To understand what Archive broke, you have to understand what academic publishing looked like before it.
You do research, you write a paper, you submit to a journal. The journal sends it to reviewers, who are your peers, who are doing this for free. The process takes months, sometimes over a year. Then, if accepted, the journal publishes it behind a paywall that you, the author, cannot breach. The journal owns the copyright. Your university pays the subscription. If you're at a university in a poor country, you pay nothing because you have no access at all.
The journals produce nothing. They take free labor from reviewers, free content from authors, charge institutions for access, and keep the profit. Elsevier in 2023 had an operating profit margin of 37%. Springer Nature. Similar. These are among the most profitable businesses in academic publishing, built entirely on publicly funded research.
Ginsbarg's hack destroyed the information delay component of that model for physics overnight. The paper was on Archive the day it was written. Peer review still happened. The journals still existed. But the knowledge was already free. The journal became a stamp of formal validation, not the distribution channel.
This matters for AI specifically because AI moves faster than any peer review timeline. If you had to wait for journal publication, you would be discussing AlphaFold in 2022. That was actually figured out in 2021. The field would be epistemically a year behind itself at all times.
Every critical paper in the deep learning era arrived on Archive first. Attention is all you need. Archive 2017, Generative Adversarial Network. Archive 2014, BERT GPT 2 GPT 3. Archive AlphaFold 2. Archive before nature. The DeepSeek papers that restructured the AI industry in 2025. Archive.
Ramin Zabi, who is Archive's current faculty director and interim CEO as of today, put it plainly. The delays associated with traditional scientific publishing, which range from months to years, would severely handicap these fast-moving fields.
That is the conservative statement. The honest statement is, without Archive, the AI field as it exists today is not possible. The iteration speed that produced the last decade of progress requires same-day global access to new results. Archive provides that. Nothing else does. Chapter 3. The Growth Problem.
Archive hit 1 million submissions in 2015, 23 and a half years to get there, hit 2 million in 2022, 7 more years, hit 3 million in April of this year. 4 years. The acceleration is real, and the cause is obvious.
AI papers. The volume of machine learning and computer science submissions to Archive has been growing exponentially. 2026 has averaged 27,500 new submissions per month. Some months top 30,000. Compare that to 10 per month in 1991.
It now takes approximately 24 staff to run the thing. It was one person and a neck station.
And it has been running at a deficit. Cornell Tech was covering it. Greg Morrisett, who stewards Archive at Cornell, said plainly, "We've been running a deficit the last couple years. Cornell Tech was funding that, and we were happy to do so, but couldn't afford it in the long run."
So this independence is not purely philosophical. Archive needed to either find new money or shrink. Cornell could not keep subsidizing the world's scientific infrastructure indefinitely, especially with universities facing the funding pressures they face right now.
The Simons Foundation and Schmidt Sciences have committed $10 million combined toward cloud migration and modernizing the codebase. That buys time. It does not buy permanence.
The new legal entity is Archive Inc., non-stock Delaware Corporation, IRS 501c3 tax exempt. Inc. is standard for Delaware nonprofits. It does not mean commercial. It means nothing about commercial intent.
What it does mean, Archive is now governed by a board of directors, up to 12 members. CEO reports to the board. Staff reports to the CEO. Ramin Zabi is interim CEO. While the inaugural CEO search concludes, the founding members who seeded the board are the Simons Foundation and Cornell University. They hold that founding member status for up to 5 years.
After 5 years, the board self-perpetuates. There is no university above it, no institutional check. The board appoints its own successors.
This is standard nonprofit structure in the United States. It is also the structure that has permitted a number of nominally mission-driven nonprofits to drift from their founding purposes when funding pressures changed the composition of the board over time.
Corporate sponsors are being actively solicited. The FAQ says, Archive hopes to expand its member affiliate and sponsor programs to support operations, and to be representative of the many universities, companies, and other organizations that rely on Archive every day.
Companies is doing some work in that sentence.
A lot of work.
The mission statement says Archive is committed to being free to use and remaining independent in our decisions as an organization. That is a stated value. It is not a legal constraint. A future board could decide that some features cost money, that some categories of access require payment, that the data has commercial value to AI training companies. None of that would violate the nonprofit status.
We are not saying that will happen. We are saying there is no structural mechanism preventing it. The difference between Archive today and Archive in 2031 is 12 people and whoever hired them.
Which brings us to the part that should be keeping you up at night. Chapter 4. The man who built it is worried.
Paul Ginsberg is 70 years old. He has been watching what he built for 35 years. He is now a professor at Cornell. He watched the preprint revolution happen. He watched archive eat physics, then math, then computer science, then biology. He watched AI research move through archive at a pace that makes everything before it look slow.
And here is what he said publicly in the Cornell Chronicle this week about what he sees coming.
Recent developments in AI have great promise, but also pose an existential threat to the underlying archive methodology. Relying as it does on the bonds of human-to-human trust, it's now difficult to prepare for the world 3 months from now. If the median LLM-produced computer science paper is better than that produced by the median grad student...
Read that again. The man who invented the system is saying, A, I might break the trust model the system runs on.
Archive has always relied on the assumption that a paper is a human artifact representing a human's genuine scientific contribution. The moderation system, which is lightweight, which is not peer review, screens for topicality and basic scholarly value. It is not equipped to filter a flood of LLM-generated papers that are technically coherent and superficially scholarly, but do not represent actual scientific work.
The AI submission volume is already overwhelming. Archive updated its AI disclosure policy. It has new endorsement requirements. These are patches on a system designed for a world where submitting a paper took a human weeks or months.
In the world Ginsberg is describing, which is the world 3 months from now, submitting a paper takes an LLM 8 minutes. If the output quality is indistinguishable from median grad student output, Archive's moderation model fails. Not because the moderators are bad, because the volume and the surface plausibility overwhelm any human review process.
And here is the full irony. The AI papers that flooded Archive, the ones that trained the models that can now generate plausible-looking papers, those papers went through Archive. Archive helped create the tool that may now break Archive.
The quick hack is 35 years old. It is a nonprofit now. It has a board of directors. It has a CEO search underway. It has $10 million from the Simons Foundation and Schmidt Sciences. And its founder is publicly asking whether the trust model it runs on can survive what the field it enabled is about to do to it.
That is not pessimism. That is the man who knows the system best saying the honest thing. And Archive, as an independent organization with greater flexibility to act, is now at least theoretically positioned to address it. Whether the board it assembles has the technical understanding and the institutional will to do so is the question that will define the next decade of open science.
Ginsberg also said Archive's greatest attribute is that it doesn't have advertisements, 35 years, 3 million papers, and the thing he's proudest of is that nobody had to sit through an ad.
Hold on to that!
The new Archive Inc. needs to figure out how to fund a 30,000 submissions per month operation sustainably. Resist the structural pressures that bend nonprofit boards toward revenue and simultaneously solve a technical problem its founder just called existential.
On day one of independence.
No pressure.
The board announcement is coming. The CEO announcement is coming. The AI disclosure policy updates are coming. Watch who they hire. Watch where the money comes from. Watch whether the 5-year founding member window produces a board that understands what Archive actually is. Not just an archive, but the operating system of open science.
Archive.org. The spin-out FAQ is at info.archive.org. The Cornell Chronicle piece with Ginsberg's full remarks is linked in the show notes.
From the labs.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find daily tech feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
world in a PDF beam. Daily tech feed from the labs, tiny sparks turning into maps, archive pages in a gentle sway, tomorrow's tricks in my ears too.